You damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Friday. Rain rolling through the area. Hope you get what you need and not too much, because we know this area can get to flooding pretty fast. Hope everybody's doing well. Off weekend for the Longhorns. Lots of football to get to, though, college and pro. Longhorn basketball going to give us a little preview this weekend. And we're going to have to start the show with some salacious gossip, drama, soap opera, NFL divorce style with Tom Brady. We'll get to all of it. Our Supreme picks are coming up at 12:30. We're 14-1 the last 3 weeks. We'll see if Zay and I can keep it going. It's Chad and Zay on a Friday. I'm Chad Hastings, joined once again by Isaiah Collier. Zay, how are you?
Doing pretty good, Chad. Can't complain.
There we go. All right. Well, at some point during the show, we might get to the one part
where I do complain.
Zay might be able to complain.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
We'll save that one, though. We can move. We'll move that one. Yeah. We'll move that one a little bit. All right, we will get to the craziness in the NFL. Definitely want to get Zay's thoughts on this Texas basketball team. Texas-Arkansas just feels right. I don't care if it's an exhibition. I don't care if it technically doesn't count. When those two get together on a basketball floor, that's pretty damn cool. But let's start with the spec set piece, and we will talk about the end of an era.
The Specs Set Piece is brought to you by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. When it's time to kick off the Austin FC match, say big at Specs, official partner of Austin FC.
And best of luck to Austin FC as they get ready for the Western Conference Final, the Western Conference Championship game against LAFC, Sunday at 2. It's on ABC. All right, it's now official. Not only are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers having a subpar season, not only did they lose last night at home to the Baltimore Ravens, but then Tom Brady's got to wake up this morning and officially, along with his now former wife, tell everybody that the divorce is happening. Lead story on ESPN.com. Tom and Giselle are divorcing after 13 years. Zay, if these two can't make it, what chance do you and I have?
What you mean?
I mean, seriously, I don't know if my marriage can survive if Tom and Giselle can't survive. Like, I think we've all been drawing power from them for all these years.
Well, this just goes to show you, if you want a successful marriage, you got to be pretty lazy at your job. Or quit. Giselle's really the only woman I know that wants her man to not have a job.
I am so confused by a lot of the details here. This really is. You know how sometimes the normal folk will hear a story like this and it's just like, oh yeah, first world problems. This really feels like first world problems. So there has to be something else here. This cannot just be Tom said he was retiring, then 40 days later decided, babe, I think I want to play ball again. Then he goes to play ball. She supports it at the beginning, then decides we're done after 13 years. It's got to be more complex than that.
I mean, it could be there's some badass kids that Tom doesn't want to go home to that Giselle has to take care of.
See,
it might be that.
I have to take him I'm going to take him somewhat at his word and her as well. I'm going to assume that they actually like each other and their kids to some degree. I'm just going to assume that. If we start there, then okay, he decides to retire. They're headed that way. If he then decides, hey, you know what, I might have a little left. I know Gronk may not be there. I know Antonio may not be there. But, man, I just feel like I got to give Tampa one more year. Her answer cannot be, well, I'm going to leave you if you do that. Whoa, stop. We've been married 12, 13 years, and this kind of a decision's going to end it all? Like, that's silly.
Yeah, think about how many events Tom Brady has probably missed throughout the whole family's tenure due to football. We're talking about the most dedicated football player to ever take the field, to ever lace up cleats. So Tom Brady chooses the game clearly over other family responsibilities, and now Giselle's making them pay for it.
Yeah, but that's
this wasn't the last straw. There's been a lot of things that have probably happened that we don't know about. Maybe happened in 2012, maybe it happened in 2015. Like, Tom Brady's played a lot of football. I'm telling you, he's missed some events. He missed one of his kids, who's probably a horrible singer, in one of the Christmas pageants that they could have went to. Tom said, do you understand that I got the playoffs around the corner? And Giselle's like, you can't make your kid's recital? He's like, no, I can't. I got to watch film. You were just watching film this morning at 3 a.m. I'm not trying to hear that. I got to watch film. There's certain things that are more important.
I mean, I don't know what it's like to be married to Tom Brady. She does. She agreed to do it on purpose. He agreed to be married to an international model. So when the international modeling schedule gets in the way, he can't gripe about that.
I don't see her modeling that much anymore.
He's married. Right.
And I know she has like her own probably businesses where she puts out models and stuff like that. And she probably goes to an event every once in a while, runway show, fashion show. Yeah. But she's not catwalking like she used to.
I guess that may be true. This texter says Giselle was not screwing around when she said it was her turn. If you have something on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Yeah, there have been articles that have come out. I read a little bit of that Us Weekly or Us Magazine article or whatever where she was talking about, you know, a couple different things and the line about her it being her turn now. But there was also a line in there where she said, you know, but he does need to follow his passion and all these different things. Whatever the reason, they are asking for their privacy, which I'm sure they'll get. Tom and Giselle are officially getting divorced after 13 years. They obviously, you know, gave their kids a lot of love, and they say they'll continue to be co-parents, and the kids will be the most important thing, and all this thing. Somebody says, as a divorced man, this was a long time coming. But who cares, really? Just because he's an NFL quarterback doesn't mean that this should be news. That's another part of it that that's a wild part of it for me, because as I'm growing up as a sports fan, we never used to hear about this kind of stuff. And only in the last, I don't know, 5 to 10, 15 years or so, I mean, you might hear something.
The biggest one that came out when I was young was Kobe Bryant and the Denver issue. That was the biggest one for me, where something crazy came out for a big-time athlete about their marriage and their life off the court / field.
But that's an accusation of a crime.
Right, yeah.
I'm saying just a flat-out divorce? That's a little bit unique. But I know nowadays everything is everybody's business, and you've got to find out. And it has been a weird run here, the way it affects this football team and the way it's affected the, you know, kind of the NFL season. It was weird that he got 11 days in training camp to just go, presumably now, deal with
this. That was so weird.
Yeah, to deal with this. Like, we kept hearing the weird little rumor about, was it Dancing with, not Dancing with the Stars.
Masked Singer.
Masked Singer. Just because Ken Jeong made that weird reference about Brady on a guess. But apparently that hasn't happened because that season's gone on and nobody in my house has told me that Tom Brady's been on there. So that would mean that a starting quarterback in the NFL took 11 days because his marriage was in trouble?
Well, you got to remember, after he retires, he's supposed to sign a big-time broadcasting deal and be like Tony Romo and all these guys, Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah, he's in with Fox right now,
I think. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So in her eyes, Giselle, she's probably like, damn, so he's going to be missing all of fall and winter again? And you know Tom, anything that he does, he's going to do it 100%. Like, he's going to go hard. He's going to try to be better than Romo. Right. He's going to try to be better than Collinsworth, Aikman, Herb Street, all them guys, because that's just in Tom Brady's blood. He's a competitive-ass dude. He wants to be the best at every single thing. That's why he's been playing until he's 45 damn years old. And she's probably like, man, can we just go relax at a nice little villa in Italy and just enjoy the fruits of our labor, because we're hella rich.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that, and maybe that is part of the issue, because it's a good point. With the broadcasting thing, the schedule will still be there to a degree, but it will be a little more normal. And then, if we believe her, that she has the concern about his safety, she knows that if he's in a broadcast booth, Von Miller's not trying to knock him down.
Right.
So, there, you know, maybe that's where it was headed. And as busy as he would be, he'll be less busy. He will be is he watching some film? Sure. But it's about one game, and he'll broadcast, and it's a lot easier for him probably to deal with. This says he hasn't been totally committed to football this year. Yeah, again, speaking to that training camp deal. And this says broadcasters travel more than NFL players. In some ways, and there's a lot of travel, obviously, in that job. No doubt about it. But, so that happens today. It is now made official. That football team last night, Zay, they got off to an okay start.
Yo, I thought I thought they were going to put up a lot of points with that first drive that they had.
It looked
Leonard Fournette touchdown. Yep. I was like, okay, this is what I'm used to seeing with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I actually thought it was one of those where I'd sort of hedged the bet with underdog fantasy. I'd pick the lower for Brady and Fournette on a couple things, and I thought, oh, let me be wrong. Let me be wrong, please. But in the end, I was wrong about Lamar Jackson because Brady did end up under the number, and so did Fournette. And then Lamar Jackson screwed me because he got like 2 or 3 yards over the number.
Yeah.
Took that money from me. So anyway, underdogfantasy.com, by the way. It was a lot of fun. I do enjoy having kind of having a little something going on there, a little scratch on the side with those pick'em games. I'm going to try to get them right. I got a college one that I'm going to try to do this weekend. But, yeah, it was an interesting start. Then the Ravens, they turn that thing, and by the end of the game, it's 27-22. And how about this number? 38 minutes of time of possession. I know y'all don't always like it when I talk time of possession. I do it too much. I'm an old man who's into those kind of stats, but Zay, 38 is impressive.
Yeah.
38 doesn't happen every day. That is an incredible amount of time of possession. Lamar Jackson has a great game. He loses Mark Andrews during the game, but now we are all see- if you haven't already seen it, you got a good look at last night what Isaiah Likely can be. He's already shown you a couple things. We had talked about him in the preseason, and you could see it coming. 6 catches, 77 yards, a touchdown. Lamar ends up with a 104.9. Hey, thanks, Lamar. Shout out. With a 104.9 rating in the game, 238 yards. They're 5-3 now, Zay. They weren't the most desperate team last night, but they ended up getting a lot out of last night. I think they put the rest of their division on notice and just reminded the AFC, hey, if we the Ravens get to play our kind of game, there's not a lot of y'all that can hang out with us.
No, not at all. And shout out to Devin Duvernay, Longhorn faithful, with just the game that he had was solid on that nice little reverse play. But Lamar Jackson, it seems like he plays better when the competition's up. Like when he knows the opposing quarterback on the other side is something serious, like a Tom Brady, he's going to elevate his game. And yeah, them sitting at 5-3 is pretty solid right now. That mean they should what? They should be undefeated with all the games they've blown. But hey, the Baltimore Ravens, if they get to the playoffs, you would think with the Jamar Chase injury for the Bengals being out 4 to 6 weeks, that would probably hurt Joe Burrow and their repertoire with the Bengals. And now the Ravens could probably finesse their way at first place for the AFC North. So yeah. I like the way Lamar Jackson's playing. I do think that they need to establish a little bit more in the running game. Gus Edwards, I think he's solid. I also think Kenyon Drake was solid too, but if they run the football, then watch out, because I think Lamar Jackson, once he starts getting into that over 40 passes range, that's when it gets scary for that John Harbaugh team.
Yeah, there's a lot of NFL quarterbacks I do not want to see throw 40 balls. Lamar's in that group because it not only speaks to just in general, I don't want to see it, but it's that style. When their style can keep him below that 40 number, they're pounding on you. And they're doing what they want to do. So he's at 38 last night, 27-38. I thought it was a good, clean game for Lamar. You mentioned the run game, 7 a carry. Yards a carry in an NFL game. And you could tell.
And they keep that consistent. Like, I mean, I know they've been in and out with running backs. J.K. Dobbins, he's been in and out the lineup again. They just picked up Drake. But if they can run the football, they're a scary-ass team.
They need to swing those numbers like Texas needs to as well. They don't need to be 38 passes, 33 runs.
Yeah.
I'd love to see them run the ball more. That's their DNA. That's what they need to be. And I do think Gus Edwards, you could tell he was banged up. Watching that game last night, we said he was questionable going in.
Yo,
he didn't feel like he was completely all there.
He had one run where he was clearly stopped for a tackle for loss, and somehow he just finessed his way to like a 12-yard gain in the first down. It's like, damn, man, this guy, he's still trying to figure out coming off that ACL injury and stuff like that. You know, it's tough when you're a running back and you're coming off knee injuries, but if he could get up to any type of 100%, they're a scary ball club.
They really are. And you already mentioned his name, but is there a better, like, sneaky, you almost forgot about him running back in the whole league than Kenyon Drake? You'll just forget about the guy for 2-3 weeks, and then you look up at a stat sheet and go, wait a minute, he had 8.9 a carry?
I swear it's always been like that.
It's bizarre. I mean, I think we all, if you remember, if you love college and pro football, him at Alabama was so, to me, he's always been caught between. He's caught between a small back and a big back. He's not the perfect size for it, so it always feels like, ooh, can you really make him the workhorse? No, I don't think you can do that. But is he all about the jet sweep and trick play, and is he that fast? Oh, no, he's not quite that guy. He's somewhere in the middle, but you forget about him, and then he'll do stuff like last night. 7 carries, basically 9 yards a clip. That's impressive.
Yeah, and you forget about him because of all the good-ass running backs that Alabama's had over the years.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you're right.
He's not in that category of, you know, of Henry and Najee Harris and stuff like that. He's just kind of low-key, but you could tell that he came from a good program like Alabama with what he produces on the field.
Lots of stuff coming off of last night. We will continue to talk about that. NFL week coming up, including the Cowboys and the Bears. Will Ezekiel Elliott be able to go? That's the big question around the Cowboys game. We've got one winning matchup this week in the NFL. That's Giants and Seahawks.
Wow.
We'll be picking that one in the Supreme Picks coming up here at 12:30. Real quick, though, let's get into a little bit of basketball talk here, Zay. Both Texas basketball teams going to be on display this weekend. If you want to go check out the Moody Center and how it sets up for basketball, this will be a good weekend to maybe get out there and do it. Your technical first chances. The men play tomorrow at 3 o'clock against Arkansas. Sounds like a good matchup. A future conference rival, obviously, and a past conference rival. And then the women are going to take on DePaul. That is Sunday at 2, both at the new Moody Center, if you want to get over there and check them out. Zay, you are going to go check out Texas and Arkansas.
Yeah, I'll be in the building.
On the hardwood.
That's what I'm talking about.
Those two ought to get after it every year. I love when these two play basketball. So tell me what you're looking for in this game. What do you want to know about Chris Beard's team right away?
If he's really serious about the tempo thing, you know, that he's talked about it and multiple players on the squad have talked about increasing their tempo, playing a faster brand of basketball, which allows your offense to get more opportunities to score points. And we know from that 2021-2022 team from last year, they weren't the most productive when it came to offensive efficiency, you know, just so, too many 12-minute droughts without scoring, too many double-digit droughts without scoring. And if you play up-tempo with another year under Timmy Allen's belt, another year under Marcus Carr's belt, Dylan Dessou, Christian Bishop, Brock Cunningham, under this Chris Beard staff and just kind of his philosophy, they should be more comfortable. You know, and he should be more comfortable with them by putting them in situations for so they could be successful. You know, Tyrese Hunter, what's he going to bring to the table? We've heard so much about him and how good he could be, and we saw how good he was at Iowa State. But can Chris Beard push those buttons to where you could get the best out of him? I'm, you know, very eager to see that. Serge Ibari Rice, can he bring a Royal Ivy type effect, which I think he can. He kind of reminds me a lot of him, being 6'4", pretty rangy, pretty athletic, defensive-minded.
I was going to say defends like that too?
Yeah, okay. I think he can. So, you know, Dylan Mitchell, who's projected lottery pick, how is he going to look in his freshman year? Is he going to play like a freshman? You know, we'll see. And then Arkansas, they're damn good. Like, they got 3 players that may be drafted this year. I think they're all freshmen, from Jordan Walsh, who's from DeSoto, Texas. Nick Smith, who people are saying might be the best point guard coming out of the draft this year. And then Anthony Black, who went to Duncanville and played under Coach Peavy, which Coach Peavy might be the best coach in Texas. I think they've won state like the last 3 years or so. But it's going to be a very exciting first matchup for the Horns at the new Moody. And, yeah, I'm excited for the season.
Texas, again, 3 o'clock tomorrow, 2:30 on that pregame, and it will just be on the Horn. Remember, most men's games and every other men's game, once we get to the regular season, all men's games will be on the Horn and simulcast on Coke FM. This particular game, it will just be right here on the Horn for you, and you can check out hornfm.com. You can do the Horn app and check out Texas men's basketball. Also, remember the women's games, they will all be on 105.3 The Bat, including the exhibition on Sunday at 2, so a 1:45 pregame there, 15-minute pregame for the women's games, 30 minutes for all men's games. All right, coming up a little later, we've got our two guests lined up. 105, it is the degenerate himself, Brandon Lang of BrandonLang.com. He was right to tell you to take Oklahoma State plus the points. We'll see what he thinks this week about college and pro football. Jeff Ketchum of OrangeBloods.com at 205, not only to talk Longhorns, but he is a Philadelphia Phillies fan, so he's on the other side of the World Series discussion from you Astros fans. We'll get his thoughts on that at 2 o'clock. Up next, though, it is the Supreme Pick. We've gone 14-1 the last 3 weeks. Zay and I making picks. Three college games, two pro games. Can we keep it going? We're going to try next on the Horn.
Got this in pocket. Got that though. I'm going to use it. Intention.
Oh, I do love her voice. Speaking of cool, spooky white chicks, you might have picked one of the best here. The Pretenders with Brass in Pocket. I love her voice, man. Chrissy Hines. Come on now. Got to see them open for Stevie Nicks a couple years ago. Speaking of two great voices on one night, that was awesome. She was very cool. Now I've seen her and that band, and I've seen Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Just checking boxes, man. Checking, like, sexy rock and roll, you know, coolness off the list. Yeah, Pretenders.
How do they look now?
You know what? They're both looking pretty good.
That's good.
They're both holding up pretty well. I mean, you could tell Joan Jett is an older woman at this point.
Right.
And she had a little bit of the, the older man and woman, like a little arm flab. Little bit of that going on.
Come on.
A little bit. But
the fat shaming Joan Jett now?
No, I'm not fat shaming her. No, I'm just saying some things are a little looser.
Arm flab.
Because she's older, she could kick my ass in 5 seconds. Mm. Seems to be able to. Mm. Both those women seem to be able to control. Like they can deal with themselves. Maybe, they don't need security.
Maybe that's what really ended it with Tom and Giselle. He said, "Babe, that arm flab that you got now, you weren't looking how you did a few years ago.
How dare you? How dare
you? See
you?
Me? You see my
There's
face?
No way.
You see my face? I'm losing weight every day. I look great. I'm still playing. What are you doing?"
He does get better looking every day. I don't know how he pulls that off.
Yeah.
That is very, very bizarre. All right, before we get back to some football stuff, how about this text? This says, "Who cares about Tom Brady's love life? Let's talk about my Mavs going into Brooklyn and beating the Nets in overtime. Luka was that dude with a 40-point triple-double and the first Mav in history to score 30-plus consecutively in his first four games of the season. Go Mavs! F the Spurs." Oh, you didn't need to put that last part in there. We didn't need to be vicious. Go Mavs is fine.
Yeah.
Luka looked great last night, Zay. 41-11-14 as they beat Brooklyn.
He's so unstoppable, it's ridiculous. I mean, being 6'9", it seems like his weight fluctuates because I've seen him at great weight and I've seen him husky as hell, and he just seems to dominate. Like, he'll post you up. He shoots that fadeaway so easily, which you know he got that from Dirk. Like, Dirk's, you know, his first year in the rookie season, just watching Dirk. Like, he definitely took that from him. But then his ball handling ability, he's so much quicker than what people think. First team all NBA the last 3 years. I think he's going to get MVP this year. Oh, yeah.
He's going to be that good?
He's going for MVP this year. The addition to Christian Wood was big time. Him coming off the bench. They can make it back to the Western Conference Finals and really make some noise once April and May come around.
129-125 was the final there. Thunder got a win. The Warriors beat Miami. They're 3-2. Mavs have started off 2-2 now on the season. So we thank you for that text. If you have anything on the Specs text line, 337-3776. We did start with a little bit of gossip, but it does affect the NFL season in a way. Tom Brady and Giselle have officially announced that they are getting a divorce. So maybe now, for those, I would say those of you, but certainly people maybe like me who follow the Bucks and am a fan, maybe he's on your fantasy team. My wife's got Tom Brady on her fantasy team, and she keeps bitching at me about, "Hey, can you get this thing figured out with the divorce? Can he get focused, please, and help the fantasy team out?" So, yeah. That maybe now, Zay, he can just focus in on football. Like you said yesterday, even with the loss, they're right there in the division. Now they've got to figure that out. Maybe he can focus.
Yeah, they ain't worried about Carolina and Atlanta. You kidding me?
Right.
They're not worried about that at all. You know what's really dark is if Tom and the Buccaneers went on a run after this. That'd be real dark. Like, if Tom just said, all right, now, you're right, I can focus, I can lock in.
Because now it's out there officially.
Oh, yeah, it's out there. Yeah. It's over with. Now he don't have to worry about those things. Clearly, it's affecting them. Clearly, it's affecting the whole entire team slash franchise. Now that it's out, now we can focus on football again, which is the main objective, especially to Tom Brady.
Yeah. Now, on the other side of things, did you happen to see the latest Tampa Bay Buccaneer that's not going to be playing anymore this season?
Who?
That'd be Shaq Barrett. They carted him off last night, and they thought he had a torn Achilles. Guess what? He's got a torn Achilles.
Man.
So he's out for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
the latest
brutal.
Tampa Bay Buccaneer, and it's been pointed out. I heard the afternoon guys talking about it. They're absolutely right. One of the keys to every championship is usually health. Very rarely do you see a team that gets racked with injuries go win a title. When the Bucs got it done and won Super Bowl 55, they did it with very few injuries. Everything just seemed to work out for them. This season started right from day one with injury on the offensive line, and it has spread through that team like wildfire.
Yeah, you got to have a little bit of luck, and a lot of that luck is staying healthy throughout this grueling 17-week season, and man, that's a huge blow with Barrett going out, because not only is he good on the field, he's a great locker room guy. He's a great leader type guy, and he's been on that team for a very long, like 9+ years or so, right? He's been there a long. Like, he was there when they were bad before Brady and got there. And
has he been there that long?
I think he has.
Oh my God!
And he had a solid game before he got hurt yesterday. I saw him get the sack and do the little Ray Lewis dance and stuff. That was fire. But
ninth season, good call.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel. He feels newer than that to me. But you're right.
Yeah, when you're not good, nobody knows who you are.
How dare you? There's no need to bring that up. There's no need to bring up those times. Come on, man.
Oh, man.
No need to bring it up. It's a wild time for that team. Baltimore gets the win last night. We've hit that. Got a big NFL weekend coming up. There's a lot of things going on. Specs text line is fired up. Our man Nate just texted in, and F the Astros, too. Wow.
Wow, what?
Just viciousness. All right.
Hey, I'm going for the Stros, man. Come on, wait. I got to go for Unk.
Wait, you're rooting for the Stros? You've been every time we talk about them, you make a joke about trash cans and cheating and all that.
What you talking about, Chad boy? This is our year. This is our year, man. I've had some bad luck throughout my day and stuff like that. I had a good steak dinner last night. Got me a fresh toothpicks and stuff. We ready to go. Got my toothpicks already sent to Philly. We ready to go.
All right, so does Dusty Baker use regular or flavored toothpicks, do you think?
Depends on the mood.
When do you go cinnamon, Skip? World Series? Do you go World Series for a little cinnamon to spice it up?
I probably do that in the offseason. when it's fall and it gets a little cool.
Regular? Yeah.
I probably do it in the offseason when I'm going through my gloves.
So we mentioned the other day about Dusty Baker and the 0-2 World Series, where he gives the ball to Russ Ortiz coming off the mound, where Willie Mays and somebody else that was associated with the Giants were popping the corks in the locker room, in the dugout in Game 6, and then the baseball gods punished him and the Angels won it. Then in 0-3, remember, Dusty was the manager of the Steve Bartman Cubs. That Bartman team, Kevin Dunn, if you're listening, I'm sorry to bring it up, man, but just so we can get the full story out there. 2003 in the NLCS, the Bartman deal, he's the coach of that team. So he's trying to get rid of all of those ghosts, plus he's trying to get rid of whatever it is that Astros fans want to get rid of. That's one of the things I'm fascinated by in this series as it gets started. If you're not an Astros fan, what would a win mean to you? How would you think differently about these Astros? And then, if you are an Astros fan, what will this make you feel? I heard Rod Babers the other day. If you don't know, Rod Babers from the afternoon show is a massive Houston guy, right? He calls it DB High. He's a Houston Lamar guy. So he's been Houston through and through. Every time you say the word Astros, he says go Stros. But the other day, Zay, on the air, Rod says, well, you know, the Astros, you can't call them a dynasty. They only have one title, and it's tainted. He said that out loud, just matter of fact. And I thought, it's an interesting comment for an Astros fan to make. Deep down, for him, that is true. So if you are an Astros fan out there, what will a title mean? Will it be like your moment to say, okay, now they can't say anything? Now they can't rip Altuve and Bregman and all these guys forever and say they never won a legitimate title. This one's legit. We can move on. Like, is that going to be the reaction?
I think it depends. Kind of like Rod Babers, it depends on the Astros fan and how you look at it. I mean, you know, when we talked to Joe Cook, it seemed like he didn't give a damn. You know, it's just another victory. So boom, boom, boom. Like that, the trash can thing, you know, that was sketchy. But I felt like with the turnover, Dusty Baker being the manager now, I like to think that, I don't think they're a dynasty, but I'd like to think that they're a special once-in-a-lifetime team, if that makes sense.
If they can pull this off and go to four World Series in, 4 and 6 years and win two of them, then there's a dynastic quality to them. Then they're moving past that Atlanta Braves status where you don't want to be as a baseball team, where you're not getting multiple titles. They will start tonight with Philadelphia and Houston in the World Series. All right, let's make these Supreme picks here, Zay. We've got the John McClellan Supreme Lending Team. I think they're back in the lead now after a big week of 5-0s. We had a 5-0 week. Chris Waters Realty doing well also. And ultimately, everybody's going to be getting to donate money to charity. So we appreciate John McClellan and his crew and Chris Waters and his crew for helping us out, being great partners. So, Zay, you feeling good? You ready?
Oh, yeah. We've been rolling.
Yeah. Ohio State at Penn State. I am definitely leaning Buckeyes here. You got
Leaning Ohio State. C.J. Stroud has been good, but throwing the pick in the last four games. And when they beat Iowa last week, they struggled a bit, and then they won like 50-something to 10. It was one of the weirdest games ever, but hey, that's Ohio State. They just have so much firepower. Sean Clifford for Penn State. Can he get it done? I don't think so for James Franklin. But hey, we'll see. You know, every time you go play at Penn State, at that stadium, that crowd, it's different. They always play Ohio State very tough, but they got drove by Michigan. Penn State did the other week. They gave up all those rushing yards. Yeah, I like Ohio State.
Yeah, the points are a different discussion. 15.5 might be too much. It may be close, but I think Ohio State wins that game. Two Big 12 games they're making us pick. Let's start with Baylor at Texas Tech. Got a feeling on this one?
Kleiman versus Mike Gundy. Good coaching battle.
No. Baylor.
You said Baylor versus Tech?
Yeah, let's go Baylor Tech first.
I was thinking let's
finish up there.
Okay, McGuire versus Aranda.
Yeah.
That's a very familiar matchup. You know, gosh, Tech has been playing a lot better. Their new quarterback, Baron Morton, he's pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been slinging it a little bit. Richard Reese, that running back for Baylor, he's been solid. Hell out of the ball last weekend. Who'd they play last week where they ran 50-something times?
Kansas,
yeah, that's just brutal. But I don't know if they'll be able to control that game like they did against Kansas. I like Tech.
Do you?
Yeah.
Winning Tech?
All right.
All right. We'll end up with Tech. Even on a tiebreaker, we'd end up with Texas Tech there. That's an interesting pick. I could go either way on that game. How about Oklahoma State and Kansas State? Because of the K-State, I know quarterback issues kind of on both sides, but with it up in the air with Kansas State, I'm leaning Oklahoma State here on the road.
Yeah, I am too. The quarterback issue is a huge problem. Like, both of their quarterbacks for Kansas State are kind of questionable, especially Adrian Martinez with how he got hit last week against TCU. But we know OK State's beat up too. We saw that this past Saturday when the Horns went to Stillwater. And yeah, I want to say Kansas State lost 7 guys in that game against TCU, and only 3 of them came back, and Deuce Vaughn was one of them. I like OK State too.
Uh-huh, yep. We'll go Cowboys there on the road. The NFL games, Giants at the Seahawks, supposed to be storming in Seattle.
Storming?
Do we trust Geno Smith in a Seattle rainstorm enough?
Well, luckily, both of these teams really like to run the football, so when it rains, you can rely on that.
Yeah.
Man, Kenneth Walker. We talked about Breece Hall getting Rookie of the Year. Now that he's hurt, I think it's Kenneth Walker's to lose this season. Geno Smith, is he going to be able to keep playing the way that he's been playing? The Giants' run defense isn't the best. Neither is the Seahawks' run defense. And Saquon looks back to that best running back in the NFL form. Mm-hmm. Ryan Daboll, and he's really got Daniel Jones really looking like a bootleg, great value ass, Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I'm going to go Giants, but damn. The Giants, they travel a lot. Like, they just got done playing in Jacksonville. You got to go back to New York. Now you got to go all the way back to the Pacific Northwest.
I tell you what, I'll take that pressure off of you. I'll get us over to Seattle. I'll get us to Seattle with the tiebreaker.
Okay, let's do that.
I'm going to go Geno Smith on that one in Seattle. So that's my fault if we miss that one. How about San Francisco at the Rams? I'm leaning Niners on that one. I feel like I'm leaning too many road teams, but I'm leaning Niners. What do you think?
CMC is going to be more acclimated to the offense, so I think he'll be utilized more. Let's see how Shano uses him. I like the 49ers, too. Okay. Matt Stafford's been sacked like crazy lately. I want to say the last time they played the 49ers, he was sacked 7 times. I want to Nick Bosa had a lot to do with that. He's been sacked 22 times this year total. Oh, man. Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford, clearly they got good chemistry, but when you're just looking at him the whole entire time, it becomes very predictable.
Yep.
And, yeah, I think the 49ers, they're going to start rolling with CMC in the lineup more. I like San Francisco.
All right, so we'll lean San Francisco, Seattle, and Texas Tech at home, and then we'll take both OSUs, Ohio State and Oklahoma State. Supreme Picks, John McClellan, Supreme Lending, Chris Waters, Realty. We thank them for being a great partner of ours. You can keep up with everything at hornfm.com. Brandon Lang coming up at 105 to talk some college and pro football picks. Coming up next, it's the crap bag, including the Scottish guy in the off week for Texas. Stay with us. It's the Horn.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and woo. I've changed my mind.
Oh, goodness gracious. And RIP, the killer, is dead today at the age of 87. Jerry Lee Lewis. Shout out to Chris Bennett and some of our other devoted listeners who let us know. One of the guys responsible for the foundation of rock and roll, and certainly one of the most famous piano-playing rock and roll guys that ever lived, Jerry Lee Lewis. There were parts of that personal life that aren't exactly what you'd want your kids to follow, but musically he is very important. Rest in peace to Jerry Lee Lewis. He died in his Mississippi home of natural causes, according to the reports. And he was definitely a musician that did not care what anybody thought of him.
Yo, didn't he just perform for Jerry Jones?
Did he really?
I want to say he did.
I didn't realize that.
For Jerry Jones' birthday party, our birthday, Jerry Lee performed, which was not too long ago.
Man, I didn't realize he was still out there performing.
I don't think he is. I think this was a specific.
Oh, like a special.
Yeah. For Jerry.
So they say here in this story that Judith is, he survived by his wife, Judith. His 7th wife was by his side when he died. And Lewis, quote, told her in his final days that he welcomed the hereafter and that he was not afraid. That does not surprise me. I can't imagine Jerry Lee Lewis being afraid of much at death. And as it points out here, along with Chuck Berry, Elvis, and others, he was one of the leading figures in the 50s rock era and a master showman, no doubt.
Clearly, he ain't
it.
Afraid of love. 7 times married. Good grief.
Not afraid of love. And then back in the day, there was a controversial nature to one of his particular loves along the way because it was a very, very young girl That also happened to be his cousin.
Oh, Jerry, yeah. No.
That happened. That did happen as well. Jerry Lee Lewis, dead at the age of 87 today. So a little Jerry Lee there to go with the Pretenders to get us started. Brandon Lang coming up at 105. Jeff Ketchum at 205. I just tweeted out the KDTV list of games for the weekend, and it includes three ranked matchups: Ohio State, Penn State, Oak State, and K-State, and that Kentucky-Tennessee game. Those are your ranked matchups. Remember, I'm at CHastings1049 on Twitter. Zay is at @ain'tthat_Zay if you want to give us some follows and retweets and likes and all that good stuff.
By the way, I'm kind of so-so about Arch Manning coming to the 40 in January.
Is that right?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I want him to get here as quick as possible so he can learn this offense, but he should go hoop.
I was about to say.
Hooper, too.
You're being petty basketball guy, aren't you?
It hurts to know that he won't be able to defend Isidore Newman State Championship in basketball. Because Arch could hoop, too. Like, there's some highlights I've seen with Arch throwing down a little 2 feet, two-handers. Arch could throw some dimes and stuff like that. So, for him to forgo his basketball season to come down to Austin, get involved, go to school, get involved in the offense, learn the offense. Mm-hmm. I respect that about him. But also, it does hurt for me to know that his basketball career is officially over.
The basketball fan in you wanted a different ending. I could understand that. It has been officially announced over the last day or so that Arch Manning will enroll early at Texas and be here in January, getting to know Coach Sark and the system and the whole thing.
Now, Jaden Greyhouse, on the other hand, leave. Leave as quick as possible.
Oh, him you need out of the area.
We ain't trying to see you at Bowie.
You go help him pack to go to South Bend?
Hey, if we can. I know he has a trip what game is that? I know he's going to one of the Texas games this year. So it's not a done deal of him going to South Bend for sure.
Oh, okay.
We know that you can still recruit these guys until they actually get on
campus.
Yes,
you can.
But
so that December signing moment.
Yeah. So I definitely leave. He needs to leave as quick as possible. Once the season ends for Westlake, be gone, because I ain't trying to see him in basketball. He is serious.
Fair enough. All right, Brandon Lang coming up here. Let's get you a quick crap bag before the hour's done. Here we go.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. All right, let's get you a little ranting and raving from the Scottish guy. Off week for Texas. Here we go.
Nobody believes what you say. It's just your jabe talking that gets in the way. All right, Longhorn fans, before we try and clean the house, let's check out some trashy reality TV. Did you see the latest episode of College Station Suspension Intervention? So good. Denver and Chris got suspended again along with a teammate for trying to turn the locker room at South Carolina into a fish concert. But fear not, Army, Jimbo's got it covered. Recruiting won't be affected at all. What do you tell them, Coach?
Look at what we're doing and the guys that happened and...
Wait, what now?
Look at what we're doing and the guys that happened and...
Ah, okay, got it. Continue.
No, also, you know, you look at that bad, they see opportunities. Everybody says, if I go somewhere that's winning all the time, I may not play for a while. You know what I'm saying?
I do not. Anything else?
When you're a good recruiter, you tell the truth. Recruiting is about one thing, truth and relationships.
That's actually two things, but we've got to move on. Good luck with Lane and that Ole Miss running game this weekend. On to the Longhorns and a steaming pile of average after 20 games in the Sark tank. Yo, Stevie, how many incompletions would it have taken in Stillwater for you to consider making, you know, any kind of adjustment? What was the sweet spot? 35? 40? Need to see 50 go into the seats? Now, I'm not gonna bitch at you about getting a quality control coach or any of that crap. You just need a shock collar. It will buzz you every time you freeze and ask one question. What would Saban do? Whatever that is, try it. If you still don't know, run the ball. All right, Get some rest, boys. You've got purple problems, Baptist problems, and the red, white, and blue problem that hung 57 on you still left to go. Off week 62, 31-17 leads on the road, 3. This is SG 10-10.
All right, all the Scottish guys at hornfm.com for you. If you want to hear them, God love you. They are there. You can go to the show page and find them that way.
Love the Jimbo rip.
Jimbo Fisher is like a young Jerry Jones. That's all I think of when I hear him. Because if you really slow it down and listen to what he is saying, it's bizarre. It's really weird. The comment about the don't, you know, guys will tell you they'll go to a place that wins all the time and maybe not play. That's a weird little ramble. But I hadn't heard that other part until I really started listening to it. I was like, wait. Did he just say, right after saying, you got to be truthful, that's the most important thing? And then the next thing out of his mouth was, recruiting is about one thing, truth and relationships. What? Wait.
Yeah, I was so stupid.
What? I don't understand.
Yeah, even when Jimbo was at his highest peak with Florida State, he still had his Heisman quarterback stealing crab legs at grocery stores and saying ridiculous things in the classroom. I forgot what he said. Remember, he like stood up and
it was in the cafeteria. Was it lunch?
Yeah, right. Lunch. He stood up and said something. So he's never had a buttoned up program, even though he's won in previous years.
Yeah, and he also had that quarterback get accused of sexual assault, and either the Tallahassee or the Florida State Police Department waited 220 or 230 something days to interview anybody. Anybody to ask anyone a question. Yeah, the way he dealt with that whole thing, it was a weird signal thing. Any Aggie that would tell me right now that they had no idea that any of this was there, I would tell you weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
Because I kind of knew what they were getting into when they got into it. I was braced for crazy. And to me, you just weren't paying attention to what was happening in Tallahassee if you weren't braced for crazy. Fast-talking, snake oil salesman. His mouth has been ahead of his brain for a long time. That dude is a babbling mess at times.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I definitely don't want to go to a dysfunctional place just to get some playing time, even though I might get clocked. That doesn't sound good to me.
How can he make that argument with what he's trying to do? He's trying to compete with Alabama. He's in a division, Zay, where he plays Bama and Auburn and LSU every year. And he's probably going to be playing Texas every year coming up. And Oklahoma's coming to the conference, too.
Yeah, we ain't forgetting there's a little riff with Nick Saban, either. And then, we ain't forget about that.
Then there's that, too.
We damn sure ain't forget about that.
Where he called the press conference to go off for 8 minutes about Nick Saban and basically call him a terrible human being and say that he's been cheating and that he's a horrible guy and that he thinks he's God and all of that. Jimbo created that. He called that press conference.
I love it.
Dude, it's a wild-ass show that guy brings. And if they didn't know that's what they were getting in College Station, I do not know what to tell them. Because Woodward knew. Scott Woodward, the guy that hired him, they were buddies at the time. They'd been at LSU together. He knew exactly who that guy was. So some of them could maybe tell you. Not that guy, though. Woodward, wherever he is now, he knew who he was hiring.
Yeah.
He knew exactly who he was hiring.
Yeah, now he has to deal with the consequences.
Whew, crazy stuff going on all over the house, divided. Longhorns with their issues, Aggies with their issues. The two just cannot be really good at the same time, it would appear. But a lot of times they both seem to be weird at the same time. All right, coming up, Brandon Lang of BrandonLang.com. What does he think of the college slate this weekend? What about those NFL picks? He will let you know coming right up. Don't move. It's the Horn.